This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast Bucks Bulletin for Week 2, Falcons at Buccaneers. The Bucks Bulletin is presented by Brandon Legal Group, longtime supporters of Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments, including the final two Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments of 2021. We will be at Plantation Palms Golf Club on October 2nd, and then our holiday football spectacular will be December 11th at one of our fine home courses annually for the Todd Wright Tour, West Chase Golf Club. You know, Brandon Legal Group actually brainstormed this idea for the Bucks Bulletin years ago. I'm happy to keep it going, and I'm thankful that Jeremy and Sean continue to back the podcast and the golf tournaments. They want me to convey a very simple message to all of you, that if you are ever in need of legal assistance and you live in the greater Tampa Bay area, they are a full-service law firm. So, for example, if you need some help with family law, Brandon Legal Group can help. If you need some help with divorce, Brandon Legal Group can help. If you need help with insert legal need here, Brandon Legal Group can help. Remember, they service the greater Tampa Bay area. Free consultation is easy to obtain. Visit BrandonLegalGroup.com, click the proper box, or call 844-4BLG4ME. 844-4BLG4ME, Brandon Legal Group. Week 2, Bucks-Falcons. For the Bucks, plenty of fantasy things to like from Week 1. For the Falcons, lots to dislike if you invested in Falcons for Week 1 in their disastrous Arthur Smith debut at home against what was perceived to be a very bad Philadelphia Eagles team. Interesting that both the Bucks and Falcons were perceived to be home in Week 1 against significantly inferior opponents. Not the case for the Bucks, who went on a late field goal, but certainly went much worse for the Atlanta Falcons in Week 1. So let's talk about the quarterbacks first. For those of you that invested in Tom Brady, drafted him to be your QB1, he gave you terrific production on that Thursday night game. I show him in my scoring settings at 24.63 points with his 379 yards passing, 4 TDs, and 2 picks. Just to let you know how important being a dual-threat quarterback is, Tom Brady was QB8 in my scoring settings for Week 1. 8th best. Now, I'm not saying that's bad, but it just shows you how much Brady leaves on the table because he's not a threat to tuck it and run, to either score touchdowns that way. He might a couple of times in a year on a quarterback sneak, a very angry quarterback sneak like he did in Week 1 last year against the Saints, but those numbers are not going to be there. Kyle Murray was QB1. He had a rushing touchdown. Patrick Mahomes was QB2 for Week 1. He had a rushing touchdown. Jameis Winston was quarterback 3. Now, that's very touchdown dependent because he threw 5 touchdowns, one more than Brady, and no picks for subtraction purposes. Jalen Hurts was QB4. Speaking of the Falcons, he ran for 62 yards, threw for 3 touchdowns. Russell Wilson was QB5. He threw for 4 touchdowns against the Colts. Dak Prescott, who opposed Tom Brady in Week 1, was QB6. With 403 yards passing and 3 TDs, ran 4 times for 13 yards. And Jared Goff, a free agent in most fantasy leagues, was QB7 with that furious comeback for the Lions to cover against the 49ers in Week 1. So Brady was QB8, just giving you some perspective, but certainly you're liking the matchup and you're liking what you saw in Week 1 from Brady, but you are not getting the dual threat that many others are. That's why Brady was QB8. I doubt many of you started Matt Ryan in Week 1. You have no reason to start him in Week 2. It was a horrible first regular season game for Matt Ryan, minus Julio Jones, with Mike Davis at running back, with Kyle Pitts at tight end, and with Arthur Smith as his head coach. It was probably one of the worst Week 1 performances out there by any team. And now the Falcons go on the road to play the Buccaneers, who have had 3 extra days to prepare for the Week 2 game. Hence the double-digit number in this particular game. All right, let's go to running back. I guess you can make a case to flex Leonard Fournette if you are in leagues that allow you to flex a running back in this particular game. Fournette did get significant work in the game against the Cowboys despite all the passing attempts and despite the fact that I misspelled Fournette here. Let me do that again so I can pull up his numbers. Despite that, he had a turnover just like Ronald Jones. Fournette, though, not benched for his turnover, ball going off his hands resulting in an interception. Jones was benched for his turnover. We've already learned this week via JoeBucksFan.com and other sources. Ronald Jones will be plugged right back in after being benched after DeMarcus Lawrence forced him to fumble in the Cowboy opener. As a result of the benching of Jones and only Gio Bernard playing on the final drive and catching one ball, I believe, Fournette touched the ball 14 times. That's good volume. That's what you want. 14 touches for Leonard Fournette. It translated to a modest 59 yards and no touchdowns. But yeah, I can see a short yardage situation against the Falcons where Fournette would be likely to get the call. Gio Bernard's not going to get the call in those situations. Ronald Jones might get the call in that situation depending on his week of practice. I wonder, as it relates to Ronald Jones, how short the leash really is. And if things don't turn around for him quickly, I do wonder if the Bucs would just ship him off to Baltimore. I do. And because Jones is playing for a contract, maybe you can get a draft pick for him, and maybe there's someone else the Bucs could plug and play off the waiver wire and throw in there and increase Leonard Fournette's load and Gio Bernard's load. Just my opinion as it relates. I think Ronald Jones has had plenty of time to prove he can be a consistent performer, and he was benched in week one. So I can only make a case for Fournette being a flex play running back in week two against the Falcons. Mike Davis, well, he avoided getting hurt in week one. Some of you may have drafted him to be your RB2, or you flexed him as a third running back. He did touch the ball 18 times. 15 of those were runs, but just nothing much. 49 yards rushing, 23 yards passing. And against that Buck run defense, I mean, the Cowboys with Ezekiel Elliott and an offensive line playing really good without Zach Markham were like, no thank you. We know this is a track meet. We're going to keep up. So I don't think you play Mike Davis in this game. And I'll even stretch it to, you know, Cordarrelle Patterson might be an interesting player down the line for fantasy purposes because he's going to play all over the place on offense and might be someone you can plug and play on bye weeks or if you have, you know, an injury to a running back. He touched the ball a handful of times against the Eagles. Patterson kind of falls into that Luke Walton syndrome for me, and I've talked about this in the past. When Luke Walton was coming off the bench for the Lakers, Luke Walton would look great playing about 18 minutes in a game. And you'd argue, why isn't he playing more minutes? And then he'd play 30, 35 minutes, and suddenly he'd disappear out there. I think Patterson is best in small doses. He's a very unique athlete, but I also don't think he's playable this week. If you want to add him on waivers, if you've got an extra spot, I understand that, but not this week. As it relates to pass catchers for this particular game, and I wouldn't be playing Ronald Jones. I know he had a big bounce back after one of his four big games last year was a game where he did fumble early and wasn't benched. I don't know. I just wouldn't want to go back to that well in week two. I want to see it to believe it. If you drafted Ronald Jones to be your RB2 or you flexed him last week, I think you need to see it to believe it that he's going to produce against the Falcons, even though game flow suggests the Bucs might just want to hand the ball off a lot in the second half, just keep the clock running. No reason to put Tom Brady in situations where he may get hit. Bucs might be up two scores in this game. So I get it, but if I'm a Ronald Jones owner, I saw what he didn't do for me last week, how he got benched, didn't give me production. I need to see it to believe it in week two. From a pass catcher standpoint, Godwin, yeah, the pecking order went Godwin, Brown, Evans for the Bucks. Yeah, I think you're starting all three this week. I could even make a case. I mean, if Gronk's your tight end in an outdated 20th century mandatory tight end league, yeah, you keep playing Gronk. He gave you two touchdowns last week. I think he's more prepared to play this season than he was last season. So you're going to press that as much as you can. So I have no problem with any of those four pass catchers being in your starting lineup this week based on what we saw last week and based on how the Falcons performed against Jalen Hurts and the Eagles. As it relates to the Falcons, Calvin Ridley was the first Falcon off the board in fantasy drafts this year. Very meh in week one. I bring up again how people justify Ridley's ADP by what he did in games where Julio Jones didn't play last year. A lot has changed in Atlanta. He's now the feature offensive guy. Teams know that coming into each week. There's no guesswork on Julio Jones. It's a new offense under Arthur Smith. It was a horrible first week. Sure, the Falcons should be coming from behind in this game and just throw. And you saw what Dallas did playing from behind in some, not all, of the Thursday night game. I'm not suggesting you bench Calvin Ridley, but I don't know how much he's going to give you in week two. It's tough because I don't know who's on your bench, but you probably drafted him as a wide receiver one. Yeah, I know we're only a week in, but I'd be a little worried about that. So I understand if you're playing Ridley because, well, I drafted him to play him. Okay. And just kind of hope he gives you, what, eight for 90 and a score? Now, those are good points. And he could give you 8 for 90 and a score, and the Falcons lose by 17. So I get it, but not a good week one for Ridley. Kyle Pitts, for his debut, just a rookie. But you worry that in a game like that where the Falcons were so far behind and Ridley and Pitts don't put up better numbers, you expect more, especially when the game flow went that way. But remember, Arthur Smith likes to run the ball. How much did he run Derrick Henry in Tennessee? So, in a outdated mandatory tight end league, if you drafted Pitts, I know you're playing him in week two, maybe same theory. Well, the Falcons are going to have to throw it 45 times, so maybe Pitts will, you know, get me one score. Maybe get me 6 for 70 and a score. It just seems like you're very touchdown dependent this week with your Falcon pass catchers in Ridley and Pitts. And you're playing both kickers. Some of you drafted Koo to play him. He's a very good kicker. And he kicks in climate-controlled situations. Now, the south end zone at Raymond James is becoming the east end zone on the river at Heinz Field all of a sudden. But yeah, if you own Suckup and Koo, I don't think you have much reason to drop either and play somebody else this particular week. I think you weren't thrilled that Koo only gave you two field goals in week one, but he's a good kicker. I would think after this week, if the Falcons offense isn't doing more, then you start thinking, all right, who else is out there that's on a team that can actually score a little bit and get in the red zone a little bit more? Field goals are fine, but you like kickers on high-scoring teams. Like Butker with Kansas City being a very good example of usually one of the first two or three kickers off the board annually in a fantasy draft. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast Bucks Bulletin is presented by Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm. To receive a free consult, visit BrandonLegalGroup.com or call 844-4BLG4ME. 844-4BLG4ME. And if you'd like to email me with any of your fantasy football questions, I take care of my podcast listeners via email at ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com.